Anybody using NetBeans? Very good, very good. What do the other guys do? Aptana, anyone? Okay, cool. TextMate, many. Cool. So I'm going to try to persuade you that NetBeans is worth trying. It's free and open source. And we'll show some cool demos. And if you have any questions, feel free to raise your hand and ask anytime. So NetBeans is mainly an IDE. This is what you get if you install the Java version, including the Swing editor. But it's not only for Java. Since version 6.0, we added Ruby support. So if you could customize the IDE, you can get something like this. So this looks more like TextMate or something like that, right? So you can actually, you know, get rid of the other windows you don't need. You can get rid of all the Java stuff and have there only Ruby. And you can, for instance, install a VI plugin if you are a VI user. There are Emacs scheme bindings and things like that. I'll show that in the demo. So NetBeans is mainly an IDE. It's also a platform, so we can actually build applications on top of the source code, which is available inside of the NetBeans source code repository. So this is an example of an application that is built on top of NetBeans platform, right? So you don't have to reinvent a lot of the windowing. You can build module applications. You don't have to reinvent, you know, how to handle actions, data systems, file systems, and so on. That's all provided for you. Finally, NetBeans is also a community, and it's an open source community with about 500,000 of developers on mailing lists. We are sending free CDs or DVDs, so if you want to get one, you can get it from the web or get it over here. And so I created a new project. As you can see, you can create either Ruby applications or Ruby on Rails applications. And if you have existing applications, you can import them easily. So I'll create a new Ruby application and call it an editor demo. And I can also choose the platform. So I'll choose to use just the native Ruby. Right? So if you are not interested in JRuby, you can just run it with native Ruby. So as I said, there are score conditions, so you can press control space anytime, and you get access to different methods. And as you type in the characters, the list of options gets smaller. Now, if you want to run the program, you just click run, and you see the output inside of the IDE.
but it's really boring. So let's try to do something more interesting. So for instance, I will define a new text variable over here and just change it like this. Now one thing you can notice is that when I place my cursor on the text variable, all the occurrences are highlighted. And if I press Ctrl R, I can rename all the occurrences. So if you have many occurrences in one file, it will get renamed very easily. Okay, so we can try to run it, still work, and see my text in the output. Now, there's code completion for different things. So for instance, there's code completion for regular expressions. If you don't remember how to write regular expressions, NetBeans will help you with that, right? So you can see all the different elements that can be inside of a regular expression. You can choose them and they get pre-filled. And also code completion for different things, like use the person, strings, and things like that. When you don't use the variable yet, like here, you can see that it's underlined. You can see a little underline over here, which marks that this variable hasn't been used yet. So that means really understands the source code. Now I will create here a new Ruby class and call it writer. And I don't need to redefine the constructor. So I will add here one method, which will be called getText. When I press enter, you can see that the end statement gets filled in for me automatically, so I don't have to write that. And we will return just the text. And over here, I will try to use it. So I will say I want to require. And now we can also use code completion for require, right? So you can go to any APIs. Here. And I will create a new writer. Again, if you use code completion, it also works for the classes that you create yourself. And you can see documentation if you write it for it. So, writer, new, maybe a writer, and puts writer. As you can see, again, getting code completion. And this time it's on top because this is probably what you want to write over here. It prioritizes the code completion. All right, so this should still work. That's right, as we get best. And there are now interesting features. So for instance, as I was saying, there's refactoring. So over here, we have a class called writer, and we are using it here, so I can press Ctrl R and I will get a dialog and I can rename the writer to my writer and all the instances will get renamed. So now you can see, you know, what are all the instances and you can rename all the references. So my writer gets renamed, the library gets renamed, and if there will be other usages of my writer, you could rename them as well. Similarly, you can search for usages, so you want to see where everywhere my writer is being used, you can see it in different parts of code, then you can navigate easily. And by the way, if you press Ctrl, you can then also navigate different classes. So I can, for instance, click over here to navigate to the record. Now we have also quick fixes, so let me try. So I'm mostly writing Java code myself, so I mean this is not really good Ruby syntax, right? So I write it like this, and you can tell me what are the problems. Anybody sees any problems? There are two of them. There should be double equals, and you can see there is an underline and also a light bulb, right? So I can press Alt Enter, and it does mean that it found an equals, but there should be double equals probably. So I can either disable the hint if I would be sure that this is correct, but I can just run this, and oh, then the other one. The other one. So yeah, okay, so maybe yeah. So it did the other hit. I'm not really confused about it, but yeah, these hits are in there as well. You can, I mean, it looks now like a Java IDE, so you want to customize it into Ruby IDE. So you go to the options, and you see there's a Ruby category with different options over here for things like formatting and so on. And I'm going to switch over here to a different color scheme. You can maximize the editor, so you can double click, and then you still have access to all the windows. So you can just, you know, press the Control 1 shortcut over here, or just use your mouse to get there. And you can actually even get rid of the toolbar and so on to get just the editor if you want to focus on code. So you can do these kind of things. Now, if you have more monitors, like two or three or more, you can take any video and drag it outside of the IDE, and then you can put, you know, move it to the other editor if you like. So that's also possible. So let's see, it also shows you when you have errors in your code. So for instance, I'll try to define a new method over here, and this is obviously incorrect code, but I immediately see that there is an error over here. So I get an exclamation mark, and I can see I have a problem in the code. Right, so if I press Alt Enter, I can again see what is the problem. You know, they give me end statements here. There are also hints. So for instance, we will try to introduce a parameter over here. So suppose there would be a parameter. Again, we can see that it's underlined because we aren't using it yet. But now, over here, when I press Control Space, you can see the parameter right here in the full completion. Right, so it helps you with writing the code. And what else should I show? There are light templates. So, for instance, this one is quite nice. So you can define your own code templates, or there are existing code templates. So if I want to traverse over individual lines and then print them, it's as easy as this. I can just find the file, specify the variable, and then do something over here with it in the closure. So code templates are also very useful. If you want to customize them, you go to Tools Options, and in the editor there's a section called Code Templates, and you can define, you know, these are the ones that are predefined for you, but you can define new ones easily. And, you know, there's like a library which helps you, for instance, to specify where to put the cursor and so on. There's also a local history, which is a very useful feature, so you can see actually all the changes which you make in the file, right? So you can now browse all the changes which happened during this demo. And by one click, I would be able to revert to any of these revisions. So this is not a version control system, it's not a replacement for it, but this is something you would use between commits, so you can easily revert changes, and you can also see the diff, so you can see the changes easily here in the graphical diff view. There is support for RubyDoc, so I'll try to run documentation over here, so things like syntax coloring. So this one gets full because it's an instance and things like that. Does anyone of you use VI? Any VI users here? Yes? Oh, very good. So there is a plugin for VI. It's actually not developed by us, it's developed by the community. So you can go to Tools Plugins and then install different plugins. And now it's connecting to the internet. But I have it, I already downloaded it. So you basically download the plugin, find it on the disk, and then you click install. Next, accept the license. plugin gets installed. And so now, the PC and there is a setting. Yeah, quickly here that I would use VI. So for now, I have VI inside the IDE. So actually, I'm now in one of the two modes, and I can use arrow keys and then press A, and I switch to the writing mode. If I press escape, I go back. If I want to quit the file, I can do colon, U, and okay, this file has been modified, so if you want to save it, and things like that. So I can run commands right over here. I'm going to be a user myself, but you can get the point, so you get the whole integration of VI inside of the IDE, and you can run any VI commands over here. And you still get all the benefits of NetBeans, so you can still use things like OpenVision, for instance. So it brings you best of both worlds. If you are an Emacs user, there are Emacs key bindings. So in the keymap section, you can switch to Emacs, and then you can use your favorite key bindings, or you can switch to Eclipse if you are an Eclipse user as well. Now, so that's the editor. Any questions about the editor? Any questions about the demo I've seen so far? Or
yes, is it possible to turn things off, like the automatically show my documentation pop-up thing, for example?
So if you don't want to use full completion, or if you don't want to see full completion, sorry, documentation, then just don't use full completion, right? So that's one way. You can just use it as a normal editor. And there are different options. So if you go to options, you can change things like formatting. You can disable different hints. So these are the little light bulbs. So you can disable it over here, and things like that. Also, if you want to get rid of more parts of NetBeans, like for instance, you don't want the versioning system, you can go to plugins and then uninstall. If there is some stuff that you don't like, you can uninstall each individual part. So for instance, if you want to have the local history there and so on, you can uninstall quite easily. Or you can extend it, you can install different plugins as well if you want to extend it. And it's also quite easy to write your own plugin, so if you would like to extend it with some other functionality, there's very good documentation so you can extend the IDE as well. Any other question? Yes.
So if you type a string, then put the dot, will it autocomplete like the string methods?
So that's right. I have to disable the VI mode first, to be sure. Someone already a user?
No, I need just string.
Oh, like this. So what you get, there are some heuristics, and we try to guess, right? So we try to show, these are methods that return strings and that work on strings. So you can see there's like down case over here, chop and so on. It's elbow pop methods over here because we cannot be completely sure of what you want to use because Ruby is so dynamic. But what you basically do is you start typing and then you get the best hits on top and then the other methods in the bottom. Also with the documentation, so you can see the documentation over here as well. I mean, it's a hard problem to solve because in Ruby there are no types, right? Like in Java, because in Java it's just easy to do things like full completion. But we try really hard and we have lots of heuristics. So just try it, and if you have any feedback, let us know. Any other questions right now? Okay, so I will continue and show the Rails integration. So as I've shown, there's Ruby. There are Ruby projects and Rails projects. So I will get a Ruby on Rails application over here. I can choose which server to deploy to. So actually, I install the Mongrel gem just from the IDE, so you don't even have to go to the command line. There's a gem manager as well. I will watch, for instance, a Rails demo. Oh, it's already there, so demo 2. I'm not using JRuby, so I cannot deploy as well. My colleague will show that later on. And I'm going to specify database connections. If you don't like wizards, you can just click finish and do it manually. This is for you know, people who like to fill information into wizards. And then also you could update your Rails installation easily from the IDE and specify some extra things. So here's the database configuration, you can change that. I'll just close it over here. Inside of the IDE, this is one also, this is what you do not get from a text editor, right? So we can connect to different databases. And it can be any database. I'm using MySQL over here because this is the, you know, deep database that Sun bought recently. So you can just list different database tables. I will delete each one of these database tables. You can connect to different databases using JDBC drivers or just using Play. Ruby active record and so on. So what I'll do over here, first thing I need to do is generate the model. So we integrated the tool, you know, all the Rails generators inside of the IDE. Okay, there we go. And we prepared the database migration. So I will redefine the default one. So this will just, you know, you've probably seen this demo many times. I will create a backlog, right? So you've seen it before. I'll run this migration. So also you can run migrations easily right from the IDE. There is also support over here, so you can migrate to different versions. You can run break tasks. You can debug break tasks. I will show demos of debugging later on. Okay, so I ran the migration. I also create a controller over here. Just call it a block. And so I'm using right now the old version of Rails. This is 1.2, I believe, or something like that. Arno will be using 2.0, so we also have support for 2.0. So I'll just get all the posts over here. And then when you are ready, you can just hit run. It will boot Webbrick for you, and the file gets open in the browser. So I can create a new post over here. I'm logging. Now all the Rails stuff that you are probably used to. And now, what if I want to switch to Mongrel? So I just go to properties and switch to Mongrel like this. And then I hit run again. Maybe I need to, yeah, I think I need to stop the server first. And hit run again. And this time you can see over here putting Mongrel. And the application is running on Mongrel. Let me show you some other things. As I said, there's support for unit tests, so we can run unit tests right from the IDE. So again, you can here run test, and there are some errors because I didn't set up my database, but you get the point. And also, tool completion can be really useful. For instance, when you want to learn about unit testing, you just press control space over here, and you get full documentation right in the IDE. So we don't have to switch anywhere else to read documentation. I think that's very useful. We also have very good support for HTML and for JavaScript. So I'm going to create some scaffolds over here, like real scaffolds. And I want to override my controller. Okay, so now we have a full controller here and also an HTML page. Now, full completion works for HTML, again, so again, you press control space, you get the same experience, you can see documentation and things like that. What you can also do, right over here some JavaScript, so I'll just start a script element. Oops, you can see I'm using the daily build. So, if you get an error, you can also easily report them. So you just click here, review and report problem, and basically, that fills in the bug report and sends it to us. So if that happens to you, please send us bug reports. We don't send any, you know, data, you know, any confidential data yet, right? But I'll try to write some JavaScript code over here. So again, the same experience, control space, you get code completion, you can see documentation, and you can also see compatibility. So you can see, you know, will this method work in Firefox, Internet Explorer, Safari, Opera, and so on. And more than that, we actually have refactoring for JavaScript as well. So again, right here, use some variable. So when I step on this variable, I can see, you know, the highlights. And again, Control R, I can rename to something else. Also rename all comments. And I hit preview, and we can preview now the changes, so we can see that the text will be changed to my text in both of the instances. And this will work, you know, across different places. Also, if you define your own JavaScript methods, classes, and so on, we'll create here a new function. It can be empty. I just want to show you that you get, again, full completion. So now it's on top because it's in the same class. And if you would write documentation, again, use documentation over here. So that is the JavaScript tooling. And let me show you the debugger, because this can be, some of you might be actually thinking, like, should I use an IDE? I think the debugging functionality is like a killer feature, so we can actually add breakpoints, and then you just click over here, debug, you know, the file. And what it does, it opens the debugging view. Here we go, so the page is still loading. But when I switch to the IDE, we can see that we stop on the breakpoint over here, and you can see all the local variables. So for instance, I can take a look at the request variable and see the parameters. So the action is placed, the controller is blocked. And this works for both for Ruby and for JRuby, so it's up to you which one of them you prefer. I can see the call stack, so I can see you know, how actually this bar HTML is generated, and I can jump into different methods over here, so I can actually analyze. You can see we go down right to Mongrel, then there's Rails, base RD, and then HTML. I can add watches, so let's see over here. Also evaluation. Here, and now we see that the column was named this title, right? So it's title. I will hit continue over here. We hit the breakpoint again, and now it's padding. So we can actually debug the code very easily. And you can, of course, step into, so I can go here, step into, and we go inside and really analyze all the sources. You can step out, run the cursor, and just like that. Debugging also works for unit tests or for rake targets and so on. So I add debugger over here. By the way, if you select a piece of code, then you get things like you can introduce fields, introduce variables, surrounded blocks, you know, introduce closures and things like that. But what I want to show is that I can add a breakpoint over here and again debug and the debugging channel starts, and yeah, my database configuration is still broken, so I'm going to fix that. Maybe I'll just do that really quickly. So for testing, I need to use, I'll just use my database over here, like this. And now I should be able to debug this problem. So we should start on the breakpoint. we have stopped and you can do all the other things. So there's more, you can also manage breakpoints from here. You can other things as well. So that's the debugger. Any questions about Rails for debugging? Yes?
I have a question about logger. So Rails generates really cool colorful logs, but NetBeans can show them so beautiful as we can see them in Maps.
You mean like in the open window or
log?
Like log files.
Log files, yes. The development log, production log.
We don't support like coloring and a lot of other things in the output window, but yeah, so yeah, we plan to.
So but that should be hard because we have the project sheet on right, so it should be hard window on.
Yeah, it's
no? Okay, yeah. So not supported now. Yeah. Next version.
They're going to?
Yeah, we are going to. Next version. By the way, what I'm using right here is a daily build from Tuesday, I think, or Wednesday. There is, of course, stable build you can download and which doesn't have any exceptions and so on. The 6.1 version is coming in May, in early May or late April. We managed to release it in the end of April. Any other questions or comments?
What about support for HAN, HAML?
Let's try.
I'm not sure what this does.
So you want me to create a HAML file? Like this?
Yeah.
I think we go for this. As you can see. Yeah. So there is support for configuration for YML. So there's some basic coloring and things like that. Or is it HML? Yeah. No, I'm sorry, I'm mostly developing Java applications. I'm actually the leader of Czech Java User Group, by the way.
There's an extra plugin for HML.
So HML, yeah. Let me see. Let's take a look at JRuby. So what I'm going to do next is switch to. So I've been showing you so far the version of the IDE, which is just the Ruby IDE. So I will switch over here to the version which also has Java support. So obviously this is one disadvantage. You need to wait in the beginning for the IDE to start, right? So it's slower than if you have a pure editor. But once it starts, you don't have to go outside. So this is something that you do only once. That's all about today. All right, so this is a bigger version of the IDE, which also includes Java support. And what I try to do over here is show you how to use JRuby. So let me see, I have here a piece of code. So what I'm going to do first is create a Java application, a Spring application, which is going to speak, and then it will apply the same in Ruby, but we will just reuse the Java library. So this is the source code. You can see it's completely different except for the types. You could also bring the parentheses over here, of course, I could also remove them. But it's the same source code, you just say require Java, and if you run in JRuby, you can reuse Java libraries inside of your Ruby applications. So first I would like to show you I will develop the application using classical Java and I will actually use Swing for that. So by the way, Swing doesn't have to be complicated, we have quite a nice GUI builder which can be used for building Swing user interfaces. Look at this. So Windows. And so I'll just add here a label and area. So you can see you get these guidelines which help you to place different components. You can resize them. And at the bottom over here, which will just people speak. Maybe I'll do that also next. We need a letter over here, and we will need an action over here. So I'll right click and set the action. The method will be called speak. I can specify other things like shortcuts and so on, but I will do that. And over here, I'm going to use the code that I have on my slides. So basically, I use this library. It's an open source library which can handle text to speech. So I'll just paste it, reformat the code. I need to add the library, of course, into my project. So I'm going to add all the jars here. And since we are in Java, I can speak for it as well. Okay. So now, the design should be ready, so we'll just start running. So here's the application, and you can try to say something. All your ways are going to us. So, my application speaks, and now let's try to do the same thing with Ruby, and we will just reuse the Java library. So, I create a new Ruby application, and of course, I have to switch over here to JRuby because I couldn't do it with native Ruby. And so, we're going to create it. By the way, you can also change the template if you want. So, delete these parentheses as well, so I don't need to do this improvement. And you can try to run it again. You can see it just works. So, this is how you can integrate Java applications and Ruby applications. You can run on JVM and have Ruby for calling Java libraries. Because there is a lot of Java libraries, and you know, you can take advantage of that. And I know that some of you may be afraid of Java and so on. But there are lots of different libraries available that you can benefit from. And so I think that's it for this part right now. I'll do more demos later on. But I would like to hand it over to Erno, who will talk about how to deploy to application servers.
In fact, like Charles and Tom already covered most of the topics I want to speak about. So you already heard, so just so it's an open source Java EE application server, and the V2 version is production quality. It's very fast, scalable, and the V3 version, which you saw that Tom and Charles version, is in preview. And so there are two ways of how to deploy the Rails application to Flash. You can deploy as Go based. Which means that you create a standard Java lore file and then just copy it to the application. So the other mode is the directory based mode, which you solve that you just tell the Clusters Rails command that you want to directory when you have your Rails application and it just runs it, and you can like modify the last and the changes are completely immediately. So here's the it's kind of a diagram of how it works like when you deploy something as a Lua file to Postgres. So we use the Goldspot bucket. It's a REST bucket and it's create server. We use it for creating the Lua file, and it also includes this REST server, which like Goldspot REST server, which takes care of dispatching the request to the right REST instances. So this is just how we picture how it works. So they are the JRuby runtimes, which all of us there you can configure like how many JRuby runtimes you want to have. Like it depends on how many concurrent requests you want to handle. So and each of these runtimes have like one instance of process mode. And here's the diagram of the directory based mode.
So it's without the code spike packing, without the code spike server. So what are the advantages of using Glassfish? So you have the same process instead of multiple, like when using a pack of components. And you can use the same company for development and interaction. You can host multiple applications in one container. Each of them will have their own components too. You can handle multiple requests, which you can configure like how many JS runtime you maintain in the room. And then you can take advantage of a connection pool for databases. And what's more, you can run Java and Ruby applications on the same platform, which might be a key factor for the bigger companies. So I'm just going to show you a short demo how to deploy the core file, because you already saw how to deploy how to use guides in this. So I'm going to create some simple application and make a Word file out of it and deploy it in Glassfish. So let's create a REST application. So I'm going to use we're going to use JRuby here, obviously. And, I'll click this checkbox that enables the call spike plugin. We bundle the plugin, so it adds the right targets to create the Word file. And I'm also going to use JDBC to access the database. I'm going to create a database here. And I will create a production database because we're going to be deploying the production. So this is for MySQL only, this database. So access database using JDBC, and we are done. So takes a while to generate the project. So here we can see that it's actually generating the right configuration to be used in for JDBC output. So, and it also adds the, because we bundle the MySQL driver with the MySQL JDBC driver with Netflix, it also added to the path pipe of the JDBC environment. So here we have the database configuration. So it's going to generate some scaffold, REST and all that. So this is REST so you can see the difference in the generation of the system it, and we'll just like use the regcast for you can find it now in Word standalone and create, and it's going to create a Word file which will deploy on the fast system. So it takes a while because the code spike plugin downloads these libraries from the internet. So So in fact, it doesn't work without network access. There's a more elegant way of doing this, which is a new way of doing the of creating workloads for REST. We'll be supporting that in the next slides, hopefully in the next 2 years. So as you see, because I'm creating it in the standalone mode, so it acts like the JWT itself to the workload. The other option would be to create it in the shared mode, which you can use when you have the libraries already on your server. Then it just doesn't add any of these libraries.
So why don't you just take it more proudly?
Yeah, but we have prepared for this. So we'll just so I'm just going to copy over for the so I have a workflow already here that I'm going to copy to flash this other deployment directory. So now we have deployed the workflow there, and it's just going to start class fish. We can do it from the ID.
Thank you.
and some new code fixes, and I'll show it as well. So that's why it's extremely useful. I'm gonna create over here just some basic Ruby application. And so the taskbase window is over here. Now I can write different commands. So for instance, just fix me and you know, need to work on this code, for instance. And you can see immediately in this window. And what you see is you can actually specify, you know, if you want to see the whole project or if you want to see just current file and things like that, you can do different filters on that as well. There are different fixes as well. So for instance, if I start to write the documentation like this incorrectly, can I get see it immediately in last place? So we actually then see all the problems that we have in your source code and we can fix them easily. So for instance, over here, the solution is to move the documentation block to the left-hand column, so it does it for you. And many different quick fixes. I don't have time to go over them, but for instance, we can try to do this one. So, not X, put X. And we can do it like this, maybe even. Now, again, I get a light bulb, and I can change it to unless. Right, so that's for me. And so if I'm a Java developer who doesn't know how to write Ruby, that means actually helps me in the Ruby conventions. So there's much more available. You know, we can go to the wiki page or just go to netease.org and see the list of features. We have, I don't know, about 30 of these different quick fixes in the IDE. And let me see also, for instance, try to define some method. So for instance, get text. This looks like Java, but we should get a hint, rename this into something else. And actually it tells us, you see over here, method name traditionally use lowercase, letters only, so you can rename it easily. Get text like this. So it really helps you with the coding conventions. And in case you would be interested in contributing to NetMe, because we are an open source project, so we welcome contributions. You can file bugs and RFCs. If you want any features, if you miss any features, feel free to file them. Developers are very responsive, so often it happens that somebody files a feature request and it's implemented in a couple of days. Unfortunately, it will not happen now because we are at the end of the release cycle, but especially in the beginning of the release cycle, they implement features really fast. Help us promote NetMeans if you like it, you can blog about it. You can also build NetMeans plugins and publish them on the plugin portal, or just participate in the user group in the mailing list. In the mailing list users of Ruby.netmeans.org. Some conclusion over here. So Ruby IDEs have come a long way. If you haven't tried them, you know, all of them have progressed a lot. And NetMeans provides all you need for development of Ruby and Rails applications. Free and open source, so you can get it from the website or you can get the DEDs over here. And you can accept more questions, so if you have any questions. Over there in the back.
You said we can build plugins for
it. Yes.
Is it possible to write plugins in Ruby?
We were just discussing that. Theoretically, yes. Practically, it's hard.
We hope to provide some infrastructure for making it easy. And currently, it's possible, but it's not too easy.
So
that would be a reason for me to switch.
Okay. Good comment. I will bring it back to the team. Yes.
How many people are actually working at something Ruby and NetMeans integration?
So we have three people. Three people full time, I think, currently. And there are people contributing, like we have lots of docs, people writing documentation, doing like flash demo screencasts, evangelists, you know, going around the world. So it depends if you just take developers as three people, but if you take the whole, you know, team, it's much more.
Because in Ruby, like, you can use the infrastructure that we have in the NetBeans IDE. So, and people are working on different things in the IDE, so it's hard to say like how many developers are working just in Ruby, because many people are working on many different things.
Yeah, the main developer of the Ruby support is Tornobi, I think, is like the key, right? And so this is the best person to contact concerning the feature support. Any other questions? Any feedback? Anything? All right. Thanks for your attention.